Gracious God, I ask that the words of my mouth, the thoughts of our hearts, the deliberations that we have after this service might always be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Because we pray this through our perfect Savior, Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. I find it delightful to work with little kids. I'm going through my third childhood now. I had my second childhood when I had children, and I've now got grandchildren, and I'm going through my third childhood. And it's really exciting to hear kids speaking about gravity as we had today. On Friday when I was with the little kids, I was told about evaporation. And so all of these nice concepts are coming through, and every now and so often kids throw in a question that as an adult I think, okay, how am I going to answer this one? Sometimes they ask questions that we've never asked. Sometimes they ask questions that we're too embarrassed to ask because they seem so simple and so basic. And to give us a reasonable answer, we need to have a far more solid basis so that the answers that we give to our children as they grow up aren't just the things that were told us when we were kids and are not true at all, but they need this, not just a sense of respectability, but they need to be understood by us. And I've entitled my series, Kids Ask Difficult Questions. So I'm going to be going through a couple. The first one today is, if Jesus was really God, why did he have to pray? We're going to be looking at how we communicate the difference between the Easter Bunny, Father Christmas, and Jonah, or other Bible stories. How do we as parents tell them there's a difference between make-believe and things that really happen? I'm going to deal with a question, is the Bible really true? How do we know that the Bible is true? And how do you tell children that the Bible is true? And then I'm going to deal with it from a teen perspective to say, if a teenager comes to you and says the Bible contradicts history or the Bible contradicts science, how do we give them a well-thought-through answer so that they don't just go away thinking, okay, that's the last time I'm going to ask my dad anything about Christ. So, when we start with the question, why did Jesus have to pray if he really is God? We need to obviously do some groundwork. We need to understand why we pray. And if we understand why we pray, why was it necessary that Jesus prayed? And I've changed the last topic, so if you look in your bulletin, it's slightly different. Instead of saying, why did Jesus pray if he was really God, the essential question, in whose name did Jesus pray? So the question I asked the kids, if we told to pray to Jesus, who does Jesus pray to? How do we work that one through? Let's go with that first question, why do we pray? If you were asked that by your little one, what would your answer be? Why do you pray? I hope the silence isn't that we don't know, just that we're not prepared to put our hands up and embarrass ourselves in front of it. We pray because that's our communication with God. It's the essential connection that we have with the Almighty. To be very basic, prayer is speaking to God. It's divine communion. It's opening our deepest felt needs, expressing our most sincere cry. It's verbalizing the fact that we haven't got things right and that we need some sort of salvation. If I could just highlight a couple of people who made simple statements about prayer. The author of Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan, said, prayer is a sensible, affectionate outpouring of the soul to God through Christ in the strength and the assistance of the Holy Spirit for such things as God has promised. I think that's a nice summary. Prayer is the sensible, affectionate outpouring of the soul to God through Christ in the strength and the assistance of the Holy Spirit for such things as God has promised. So that gives me a sense as to why I pray. It's an outpouring of my heart for things that God has said we need to be praying for. The Bible commentator Matthew Henry said, if you love God, you cannot be at a loss for something to say to him, something for your heart to pour out before him, which his grace has already put there. Now, some people think that when we pray, we're just crying out into the void. There's no God, so it's no good praying. If you do pray, nobody hears you anyway, so why would you even pray? To which I can respond, I'd rather speak to the Almighty who can change all things than speak to myself and still be stuck in my predicament. I can't save myself. I can't help myself in times of trouble. People thought that with the advent of greater knowledge, we would see that there is no God, and if there is no God, there would be less spirituality, there'd be less religion, there'd be less Christianity. But I think there is more spirituality in the world today because there is a longing for God. Even amongst unbelievers, there's a longing for someone or something out there. When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me speaking words of wisdom, let it be. I don't consider the Beatles to be a good place to start an illustration in a sermon. But there's that yearning, there's the longing that there is someone, something out there that I can pray to. Someone says, I don't think people need to follow a certain way to find peace and understanding. And so we go about it in our own way. Another person said, you don't need to be dying to ask fundamental questions. Carried on, through constant examination and reflection, my values continually shift and evolve. And people are just desperate to say, this is not it. There's something out there. It might be wanting somebody who has passed on to be looking down on me, and I want that communication with them. I don't know what it is that people are looking for, except that they're looking for someone to be able to help them in times of hardships. And so, when you start looking, you'll find that he's revealed himself. His name is God. He's made himself known through this specific revelation that we call the Bible. And this God invites us into a conversation with him. He says, speak to me. Talk to me. I'll talk to you. And it ought to come as naturally as a child should speak to their parents. In any good relationship, there's communication. It happens both ways. And as we make ourselves clear to our children ask us questions, ask for direction. And the conversation grows, and the more we know this God, the more we are able to converse with him. If you don't know this God, prayer is unfamiliar. It doesn't seem natural to go to a quiet place and speak out loud, but that's what Jesus did. He conversed with his Father. In the words of a writer who's written prolifically about prayer, E.M. Bounds, he says, prayer is the language of a man burdened with a sense of need. That's what we do when we come to God. That's why we pray. So the next question is, was it necessary for Jesus to pray? Jesus prayed, firstly, and I've got four sub-points that are very brief. The first reason why Jesus prayed was because it's an example for us to pray. Jesus prayed before he chose his disciples. There's an example. Before there is any major decision. He used to be very close to my dad. And before any big decision, I would go to him and say, hey, Dad. He used to call him Mister. Hey, Mister, what do you think of this? You think this works? And he'd look at me and he'd shake his head and say, you're on the wrong track there. try something else. But the same openness and frankness and honesty that I had with my Father, God calls us into relationship. And he says, speak to me. In fact, when you look at John chapter 11, verse 21, there's a verse that says, where Jesus prays, and he says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this, obviously out loud, on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. Jesus is saying, Lord, Father, I'm praying out aloud so that everybody around can know that there are answers to prayer and that you hear me and that you respond in a practical way. And even though Jesus was essentially divine, he let go of all of that contact with heaven, so to speak, and he made himself nothing. He took on human likeness. He became frustrated with people who wouldn't listen to God. He was tired. He wept at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. He had to sleep. He felt the same pain. He's an example of prayer when he was going through those difficult times, physically and emotionally. Let me take another sub-point. He did it as an example for us to pray. He did it as an example of the relationship that he has with the Father. We read the first part of John 17. Later in John 17, Jesus prays. He says, I have given my disciples the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity. Let the world know that you have sent me and that you love them even as you have loved me. So secondly, Jesus prays as a demonstration of the relationship that we have with our Father. So I'm not just praying into some vast space. I'm not praying into a vacuum. If you're going to be technical about it, sound doesn't travel in a vacuum anyway, so you can't be praying into a vacuum. It doesn't work. What we do know is that we have a God who hears us. And rather than praying that God would come down and answer me, I'm praying that I would be one with God, that I would pray his desire. Let me show you the difference very briefly. The relationship that I had with my dad was a close one. And every now and so often I'd do something and he'd see where it was going and he'd say, you don't really want to do that, do you? And the natural answer to that question is, no. 5 minutes ago, I really was thinking about it, but now that you mentioned it, no, I don't think that's a good idea. And what that is my dad saying, with all his vast years of experience, with his understanding of the world, with his financial acumen, with everything that has accumulated in his mind, John, I think you're going in the wrong direction. I don't think you really need that. I think you need this. And in my teenage brain, I was saying, no, I don't need that. I've thought about it. It's not a good idea. And that's hard slog. And he'd be saying, it might be hard slog, but this is going to lead to destruction. And so rather than us thinking of prayer being us grasping the Almighty and bringing him down to our level that he would understand what we're going through and why we're doing things, prayer is not us bringing insight into the Almighty's or insight to the Almighty's attention to have an outcome that we want, but it is us attuning ourselves with whatever God wants, because what he wants is the best for me, even though I might not see it immediately. Thirdly, prayer is a revolutionary way for man to speak to the divine. woman to speak to the divine. Never before in any other religion are people told to pray Our Father. If you look at traditional religions, God is someone out there, somebody who's transcendent, somebody who is far away, but with an eye on the world to say, I'm watching you, and you put a foot wrong, I'm coming after you. Those are traditional religions, generally. We've got modern spiritual movements that have brought God so close to us that it's just this, I've just got this great feeling. I had shivers down my spine when I was watching the rugby last night. And I just felt that there was a butterfly flying past, and I was one with whatever that presence was. And it becomes so familiar that this God becomes putty in your hands, and it's this inspirational force. And yet, when we come to the scriptures, we've got a God who is so far off. He's transcendent in his glory, but so close that he is one with us. It's remarkable that God can be transcendent, and the theological word, God can be immanent. He's right here. He's with us. Christianity allows God to command supreme respect, and yet intimately invites us into conversation and says, you can call me Abba, Father. Last sub-point. It's necessary that Jesus prayed as an example so that we would do the same. Fully human, Jesus says, pray like I do. When you pray, pray Our Father. He doesn't say, you pray, dear Father. Communication is more than just God speaking to me. How do I know that he's spoken to me? Because his word is true. And the more I understand him, the more my will aligns with his will. And if I'm not prepared to understand him, how can I speak meaningfully to him? It's understanding him so that we can speak sense back to him. Let me go into the last point. Vital to our question, why did Jesus pray if he was really God? In whose name did Jesus pray? We pray in Jesus' name because he's our mediator. He intercedes on our behalf. I love the words of 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you that you do not sin. And if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. In other words, we've got somebody who stands in our place. He represents us before the Almighty. Somebody who has gone through temptation. He knows the stresses and strains of life. He's felt my pain. He's gone through my emotional grief. He's been tempted in every way, just as I have been. And he says, John, I can best represent you before the Father in heaven. And that's what it means to have Christ as my mediator, my advocate. But if Jesus is the advocate, in whose name does Jesus pray? We end our prayers, we pray this in Jesus' name, Amen. Or for Christ's sake, Amen. Or we end it by somehow saying, we're not coming to you, Father, because we're good enough, or because we've made it, or because somehow we have some validation in your sight. We come to you because Christ has done it all, and he's paid the price, and he is my perfect sacrifice, and we come to you through his perfection. But sometimes we do pray in our own name, for my name's sake. We shouldn't, but we do. And we might not use those words, but from time to time,
We want to tell God exactly what will work in this world in order for Him to do it so that we can be at rest.
Lord Jesus, if you just took my idea, the whole world would come right. Lord Jesus, you know that I'm really battling with this, so please take the temptation away from me in my name's sake. In other words, you're saying, I'm not really interested in what you think of the situation. What I really want is my stuff to be done. And we do that by almost thinking we've got a right in some way. So we've got a decision to make by tonight, and we've got to have the answer first thing tomorrow morning, and we just declare a day of prayer and fasting. Now, there's nothing wrong with declaring a day of prayer and fasting, but the arm twist is, Lord, now that I haven't had any food, the whole family sat down to a fantastic braai. They had rump on the braai, and I didn't even have any because I need the answer by tonight. In my name, amen. Because you're saying, Lord, now that I've twisted your arm, you should do something for me. Or maybe you feel unfairly put down by God. And you say, Lord, I've been so faithful, and this is how you treat me. In my name, amen. You see, we're looking at our own perspective. And we should really be praying as Jesus prayed, and he left us that example. Yet not my will, but yours be done. You see how that works. Let me quote R.A. Torrey for you. He says, we must give up any thought that we have any claims upon God. We should go to God in our prayers, not on the grounds of any goodness in ourselves, but on the grounds of Jesus' merits. So Jesus clearly doesn't need an intercessor. He doesn't need a third party on his behalf. God knows his trials. He knows what he's been through. And because he's perfect and one with God, he speaks to the Father as one with God. And he invites us into that same fellowship. May we be in God as Christ is in God. He prays to God. There's the answer to your question. Just in case you had fallen asleep and you need to wake up and get the answer for your kid's question today. Who does Jesus pray to? He prays to his Father in heaven. Just as he invites us to pray to our Father in heaven. He doesn't need to pray through an intercessor. But what a great thing it is that we have somebody who speaks on our behalf. Probably the person who suffered the most in the world, apart from Jesus, could have been Job. You think of what Job went through. Apparently, Job is one of the earliest books in the Bible. Somewhere around Genesis, Job writes this. It's halfway through the Bible because it's a book of poetry rather than early history. And Job, without the understanding of who Christ was going to be, writes these words. Job chapter 16, verse 19. Even now, my witness is in heaven. My advocate is on high. My intercessor is my friend. As my eyes pour out tears to God on behalf of a man, he pleads with God as a man pleads for his friend. What a wonderful gift we've got. And we don't use it. Look at the sincerity of Jesus when he prays. He prays in Gethsemane, he encourages the disciples to pray. And he goes off and he prays so intensely that great drops falling from his brow, blood falls from his brow. You look at the intensity of the conversation that he has with the Lord. A short prayer doesn't start with, dear Father, and it doesn't end in my name. He just says in a short prayer, my God, why have you forsaken me? Sometimes taking Psalms, as Vince did this morning, and just praying through that Psalm and saying, Lord, I've got no words. I don't know how to put my thoughts into words.
But thank you that you know me as you knew your son. Father, I don't know what to pray, but thank you that you hear me. If Jesus needed to pray, how much more we need to pray? We need to watch and pray. We don't need to be like the disciples who fell asleep. Jesus needed to pray. He taught his disciples to pray. In answer to the question, if Jesus really was God, why did he need to pray? Bigger than just giving an answer that he was man, truly man, and he gave us an example. It's that connection that Jesus had with his Father in heaven needs to be emulated by us to say, if we don't have a Father who loves us as intimately as God loves his children, then we don't know what it is to pray. I think it was nicely summarized in words of A.W. Pink. Prayer is not designed for the furnishing of God with knowledge of what we need, but it is designed as a confession to him of our sense of need. Doesn't that summarize why Jesus prayed? He didn't have to tell God that he was going to the cross. God knew that. It was a confession that he needed his Father more than ever. If you know the words, please pray with me. Otherwise, just think about the words as we say the Lord's Prayer together. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.